Let's pray for these gifts. Lord, we know that all we have comes from you, every beat of our heart and every breath we take. So we willingly give these gifts of food, money today and through automatic payment. And we ask you to bless them. Bless the people who gave them and bless the people who will use these gifts to turn it into your love here in our community and abroad. Amen.
Amen.
There's been a change to the readings for those who are following along, but Penny.
Thank you. Atamarie, if you want to read the readings not off the screen, the first reading is Acts 10, starting at verse 34, and then we move to Matthew 3, just so that you can be prepared. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the ones who fear him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna, kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Praise and glory to God, te whakamomiti te kororia ki te atua. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Te ronga pai tēnei a te karāti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi I te tia ia. Te kupu mana.
Thank you. Father, I pray that we may all open our ears and our hearts to all that you want us to hear today. And may we too know a rebirth, a new baptism, just as we did this morning for little Hofer. Amen. A man was lost in the desert. He wandered around for a long time and he was terribly thirsty and very tired. But then he saw a little shack in the distance. He made his way over to it and he found a water pump with a small jug of water on it and a note. And the note read, "Pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do, you'll get all the water you need." So the man had a choice. If he trusted the note and poured the water into the pump, and it worked, he would have all the water he needed. But if it didn't work, well, he'd still be thirsty and he might die. He could choose to drink the water in the mug and get immediate relief, but it mightn't be enough and he still might die. The man had a choice. He decided to risk it. He poured all the water into the pump and he began to work the handle. At first, nothing happened and he got a bit scared. But he kept going and the water started coming out. There was so much water that he drank all he wanted and he took a shower and he filled all the containers that he could find. Because he was willing to give up instant satisfaction, he got all the water and more that he needed. Now the note also said, "After you've finished, please refill the jug for the next traveller." So the man refilled the jug and he added to the note, "Please prime the pump. Believe me, it works." In life, we have the same choice to make. Do we hold on to what we have just because we don't believe there might be better things in store for us? If we do, we're settling for instant satisfaction. Or do we trust God and give up all that we have to find what God has promised for us? I think the choice is obvious. We need to pour in all the water and trust God with everything. Then, when we have experienced what God offers us, living water, we need to tell other people, "Go ahead and prime the pump. It works." Water is a source of life, isn't it? Our bodies are actually over two-thirds water. We're told to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. We rely on warm water to clean ourselves, cold water to brush our teeth, boiling water for that all-important cup of tea or coffee, rainwater to grow veggies and flowers, soapy water to wash our clothes, our dishes, our cars. Yes, water is a necessity. Perhaps then it shouldn't surprise us that water features so prominently in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And when the people of God were slaves in Egypt, God led them to freedom through parted waters. We mentioned that, didn't we, in the baptism service? And then God sent his only Son, our Lord Jesus, who was nurtured in the waters of Mary's womb. God sent him to be our Saviour. And as our gospel reading told us, Jesus was baptized in the water of the Jordan River. After his baptism, Jesus often met people in the context of water. He encountered a woman at the well. He called disciples from a life of work on the water as fishermen. He calmed the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee. He walked on water. Water isn't just necessary, it's symbolic. Now, when Jesus goes to the water of the Jordan River to be baptized by John, he comes intentionally. Matthew's gospel makes it clear that he was coming to Nazareth, he was coming from Nazareth, sorry, where he spent his boyhood and adolescence. We don't know how much John and Jesus saw of each other while they were growing up, nor do we know about what their mothers told them about the unusual circumstances of both of their conceptions and their births. But we do know that both John and Jesus knew what they had to do for God. I think that as he grew up and worked in his father's carpenter's shop, Jesus must have been looking for a sign from God that told him when he was actually get stuck into his work for God. And maybe it was learning of John's preaching and baptizing that told Jesus the time was near. But whatever, Jesus deliberately seeks out John and asks him for baptism. John, however, thinks that Jesus should be baptizing him, not the other way round. This, I think, shows John's humility and his awareness of his own sin. But you know, it also shows us that John could discern that Jesus had no sin that needed to be confessed. No wonder John thought that such a baptism was inappropriate. Jesus, however, tells John, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. This baptism is God's will, he's saying, and as God's servants, we must be obedient. So John consents, and Jesus enters the river. Maybe he felt some sand or some mud or even a little stone or two squelching up between his toes. But he walks to John, and he's fully immersed in the water. He comes up out of the river, no doubt soaking wet, which probably had strands of hair clinging to his face and water running off him. But then something miraculous happens. The Bible told us, at that moment the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Any doubts that either John or Jesus may have had must have been overcome immediately. Hearing that voice and seeing the Spirit resting on Jesus, they were both unmistakable signs of God's affirmation. They were right to prime the pump. What an awesome sight this must have been. We can run past it quite quickly. But you see, it isn't just that the Holy Spirit came down in the form and shape of a dove, but that he descended from the heavens in a visible form, just like any dove would descend from the sky. The Bible says that the Spirit came to rest on him and remained on him, expressing God's love and God's power. It wasn't because of anything Jesus had achieved. He'd yet to begin his ministry. No, God was simply expressing his sheer delight and his love for his Son. And for Jesus? Well, I believe that he received confirmation of what he knew in his heart was to be his task. It was confirmation in a physical way that his ministry was to begin, and a public ministry at that. Now, that day, there were crowds of people around. They'd come to hear John preach. But those that were on the riverbank became witnesses to something much greater. They experienced the Trinity, God in three persons. They saw Jesus in the river. They heard the Father's voice, and they saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descend onto Jesus. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be there? to see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all together at the same time. Whether you believe it or not, today every follower of Jesus receives the same love and power. We are each given the Spirit of God. John the Baptist pointed out, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And he does. This is what little Hofer has received today through baptism. Jesus received the Father's loving affirmation, and we can too. When someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, he or she receives a brand new life from him. Everyone without exception. Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. This is God's complete provision for every sinner, every person who wants to come into a relationship with him. There are three distinct but related experiences. Firstly, repenting of all the wrong things that you've done. Secondly, being baptized. And thirdly, opening your heart to the Holy Spirit. This provision of God has never changed. It is still the same today. It is up to each one of us to take the risk, to prime the pump, and to accept the gift. So where do we start? We start with humility. Jesus humbled himself by being baptized. We too must swallow our pride, come under the Lord's authority, and be prepared to serve him. We have to make a choice to let God call the shots. If we do, it will change our lives. If we don't, well, all our plans won't mean a thing. And so I suggest that we start to serve Christ in the simplest of ways. Let's really take an interest in other people. Let's try to identify with them and their needs rather than talking about the weather or ourselves. Perhaps each of us should determine to get to know someone we've ignored up till now. Maybe someone who isn't like us. And I say this because Jesus doesn't ignore us. By being baptized, he identified himself with you and with me. He gave us an example to follow. He demonstrated not only the need to be baptized and live for him, but also the need to publicly be Christ to others. Instead of just sitting on the riverbank, we must be serving God and responding to his Spirit today. God has something for each of us to accomplish this year. We need to respond to his leading through his Spirit to find out what he wants us to do. Now, I know that most people here have been baptized, but I want to suggest that today we experience the waters of baptism again, now. Yes, we have hearts that are following Jesus, though we may have allowed a bit of dust to settle on them. But I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Let's walk down to the river's edge. Take off your shoes or your sandals or your socks. Take a step. Let the water gently splash over your feet. Then walk into it. Keep walking. Hold your breath and take the plunge. Now rise up out of the water. Stand for a moment and hear God's voice say to you, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. See what I am planning for you as we walk together this year. Amen.
Please stand.
Eternity.
Just as before we start communion, I think it would be appropriate to pray for Mark, our vicar, who's really been very sick with COVID, and a number of other parishioners who have COVID as well. So let's pray. Father, we lift up Mark to you. We thank you for the love and service and everything that he gives us as vicar. And Father, we pray now for his healing in Jesus' name. We pray you would give him strength and energy, that you would drive anything that's not of you out from his body, and that you would prepare him, Lord, to go on the sabbatical that is so important to him and to us. So, Father, be with him now at this time and with all others in the parish who have COVID. Lord, may they know your presence, your loving arms around them, and may they know your healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I just remind you that communion is in one kind today as a safety measure because of the amount of COVID in the community. That is still a complete communion. And there are gluten-free wafers. If anyone needs them, don't hesitate to ask for them. So, the Lord is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer
thanks and praise. It is indeed right, Father. You are the source of life for all creation and made us in your own image. When we sinned and turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son, who became one of us, so that we might become one with you. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name together, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to you, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son, Jesus Christ, took bread. When he had given you thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took the cup. When he had given you thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and celebrating his rising from the tomb, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise. By your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ, and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favor on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. United in Christ, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. And as Christ teaches us, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. From the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Haere mai e te kahue a te atua. Haere mai ki te tepu a te karaiti. Come, God's people, come to receive Christ's heavenly food.